probably overexcitable for any cyclist in any way, shape or form, but Plastic Bertrand all the way back from the 80s and Saplan pour moi. Okay, we started the show off by talking with Cameron Tilbury from Nashville, and for a Canadian's perspective, he quite rightly said it's not Louisiana, it's Louisiana. That sort of sense. The Reveille-Ravalli debate could be continuing, but to actually put us completely right on that, we're delighted to welcome now a debut tante to the fabulous Midweek Drive production on Siren 107.3 FM. She's Mary Lee Williams. Mary Lee, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good indeed. Delighted to feature you on the programme, given that you sent in an initial preliminary kind of investigation about one of our postgraduate courses here, the Airmaker Community Radio. And we said, well, come on the show. Join us from that perspective. So just to get this right here, when you were contributing writer to the Daily Reveille, as opposed to Reveille, is that right? Yeah.
Yes, it is Reveille. Yeah. That's how we say it down there. It's one of the... It's a daily publication at my university in Louisiana.
Exactly. And you wrote three stories a week about the university's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered and multicultural community. You also worked with editors, photographers, and videographers for multi-platform journalism. The other key thing is it Louisiana or Louisiana?
It's Louisiana.
It's Louisiana. Not Louisiana.
It is. Well, that's how... I say it. If you were speaking to someone from Nashville, they probably have a different bit of a twang to their voice.
Particularly if they're originally from Canada and they're now living in Nashville, that could create all sorts of challenges.
That's a lot, and it's almost like New Orleans and New Orleans.
Exactly.
People from the north tend to say New Orleans because of how it's spelled, but it usually is New Orleans.
Exactly, this is it. Yeah, and it certainly was in the James Bond movie Live and Let Die, but that's another perspective at another time. Your resume, as opposed to CV, resume, very impressive because clearly you're currently working as an intern at the National Public Radio affiliate station WABE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. It's not my first time working for an affiliate station, though. I've worked in Austin, Texas, too.
Yeah, exactly. That was for KUT, also an affiliate station. National Public Radio in the States is probably the closest you get over in the USA to the kind of community radio and community media sector that we have in Britain. But it does provide a lot of really exciting content. Is content very much at the heart of your own interest in radio? Or would you say, no, if I had my way, you just have nonstop country music every day? You know, that's the key thing.
Well, for me, content really is a big part of radio, particularly when it comes to the affiliate stations with NPR. You know, National Public Radio, it's a huge thing. It's like the BBC radio. It's massive. But when you have these affiliate stations, it really brings the content to home, which I think is really important because you get a lot of that juicy flavor that you find in every city, especially in America, and particularly in the South, because the South is bursting with flavor. And it's so different everywhere you go. A lot of it has to do with the ports that we have here that have brought in so many different types of people, I think. You know, going back in the history, like in Louisiana particularly, the different colonists that were there, it brings all this different flavor. And when you have these local stations, you get really good content. You get good stories, good people, interesting events, and just you have so much to cover.
And yet, we still have challenges, as I'm sure the chair of the Community Media Association and indeed the managing editor of Siren FM, Andrew David, might adhere to, where sometimes you find that stations seem to kind of lose their way somewhat and they kind of feel as though they need to go down a populist route. And that's not to say that you can't have both populist content and actually maintain your sort of areas, but do you sometimes find there is a challenge where, in essence, people would secretly actually like to be, you know, a kind of rock music station, or they have their own sort of line on that?
Yeah, that's a big issue. People really want what they think is popular. And actually, it's surprisingly sometimes a lot of a challenge when it comes to like newspapers, too, especially what I've experienced working at the Daily Reveille and working with radio stations is that people want their music in the car. They want what they want to listen to. And they kind of expect that type of content to come out, you know, even though it isn't necessarily what is happening all the time, or it's not necessarily providing the best thing for listeners.
just looking at some of the profile for the work you're putting together here, I know it'll feature on some of the discussion we'll have with our next guest, who's Liv Clark, who was a graduate of ours back in the last century, actually, but still very much resonates in every sense of the word. But the standard thing is contributing to morning budget meetings and pursue story ideas, offer insight in online journalism and digitally minded content, conduct interviews, collect audio and take photos for stories, and write at least 3 stories a week for afternoon broadcast, which seems fine. The online aspect and the digital content, that's something which certainly is ever present. Whether you're on sirenonline.co.uk, which we're delighted to welcome listeners to that, or indeed any of the sort of lines from that, you've got that interesting balance between local broadcasters and global broadcasters. Literally, glocalization has come across.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the thing when it comes to, the most important thing about online is it really kind of spreads you out and lets you, you know, get out to wherever you're going. Like with Siren FM, the fact that I can listen to it, it definitely makes a wider aspect and can spread interest really far.
What's been your own particular favorite placement that you've been on? I mean, let's assume nobody's actually listening at WABE now, or if they are, obviously it's WABE. But if we take that out of the system, you mentioned you were at KUT in Austin, Texas. You're obviously contributing writer to the Daily Reveille, working through Reveille Radio, which is Louisiana Student Union's student radio news source. What's been the bit when you realized that actually the scenery is so much better on radio and I enjoy the medium?
It was actually with Reveille Radio. I started writing for a newspaper. It's kind of been in my family my whole life. My brother was the editor of the Daily Reveille, and I went to the same school as him, and I followed in his footsteps in a way, and I started writing, and at the same time I started doing radio. And the thing was, I can edit, but when it came to writing, I didn't really see it there. You know, I didn't feel the same type of connection I had to the people when I was doing radio. There's some type of aliveness, which isn't a word, but it's alive. Radio is alive in a way that I can't possibly convey in words necessarily.
It's analogous. It's analogous to the classic Colin Clive movie in the 1930s, where Baron von Frankenstein actually chirps up with "It's alive." It's that kind of area, really, isn't it? Except we're not Frankenstein's monster.
Right. But I fell in love with it at Reveille Radio, and it was because I stopped writing. I only wrote for about a year. I stopped writing, and then I just moved on to radio full time, and it was the first time I really got to do a package, which is like a 4-minute audio piece on something that I really was interested in. I think the first one, the big one I did, was about a haunted house, which sounds silly, but it actually ended up being really amazing. And I don't know, it's something about the way you can make it move, make sound move, and make it interesting, and make it really something of like theater.
Well, can we also just say simply the power of the voice? Simply the way in which the voices that you hear, the imagination that's stirred in terms of how you develop things, all of that is actually there, whether you're dealing with audio postcards from location reports or whether you're dealing with a whole stack of other things from that.
That's really how it is. Funny if you mention audio postcard, I'm actually getting ready to do one. I'm doing one about the World Cup game tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you see, you mentioned that, but we've already said that the wonderful excitement that has been replete throughout the land of Great Britain since England had the glorious success of taking a single point from their 3 group games with that glorious 0-0 draw against Costa Rica. We felt, you know, where can you go to after that, really? And you know, much as the USA's 2-2 draw with Portugal and, of course, early success in the group against Ghana, you know, it might lead the way, you know, it's Jurgen Klinsmann against his fellow Germans. Jurgen Love versus Klinsmann. It's the two Jurgens. It could be fantastic. It could all end in tears. But you know, we appreciate
that's the good thing about football. really exciting.
Yeah, and as we said last week, don't worry about the tendency to refer to football in the States as soccer, because it all comes from the derivation of association, because technically it's association football reduced to soccer, ASOC, as in association football. Nothing to do with sort of just people being deliberately contrary, although I still think that actually baseball is nothing more than rounders with a different sort of angle on the whole thing. But that's something else we can talk about.
Don't quite understand baseball, so I don't know. I may be American, but baseball doesn't touch it for me. I just can't.
Well, Mary Lee, I think that probably will probably echo through. Now, it's, I mean, obviously, it's a field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. That's the classic line with respect. I'm sure it's there. It's in the psyche. Mary Lee, it's been fantastic just sharing some thoughts with yourself. We need to mention, of course, that between the months of January 2013 and June 2013, for any time travelers out there, you were actually studying drama and English culture at the University of Sussex in Brighton, England, through the Louisiana's State University's Study Abroad programme. So you have had some experience of what we refer to as British quirkiness, presumably.
It was. It was my first time ever being in England. Actually, it was my first time ever crossing the Atlantic over into Europe. And I did study. I studied drama and English at Sussex, because my minor is theatre. And it was very interesting. I have to admit, my first day there, I was in Heathrow, and I wasn't very sure what was happening. But it was amazing, and that's kind of what brought me back to wanting to pursue a master's degree in England.
For me,
it was just the way that people were, the way they acted, and a lot of what I found there, I enjoyed. As silly as it is, again, it just felt more alive for me, and I really liked the way that things moved there, and Brighton was a lot of fun. It was definitely different than what I had experienced growing up in the South.
Well, we have a couple of contributors from Brighton, but did you ever get into the East Midlands? Did you ever check out the joys of Lincoln, England, as opposed to Lincoln, Nebraska?
I actually did not get the chance to see Lincoln, and that was unfortunate. I spent a lot of time traveling, but I didn't make my way up to Lincoln.
Well, clearly, destiny is looking to lead you to that, and fingers crossed all will be well with that, and now you might be joining us. It would be wonderful for that point of view. But we do have two final questions to bowl across the Atlantic at this particular moment. Standard sort of lines, that really customer satisfaction in many ways. Mary Lee Williams, have you had a reasonably interesting debut telephonic chat on the show today?
I have. It's been different. This is my first time ever calling into a podcast, particularly one overseas. When I told people that I was going to be on a podcast in England, they were like, "Are you flying over there?" And I was like, "No, I'm just calling in. It's fine."
Exactly. Yeah. They can listen live. They can go on sirenonline.co.uk and listen and share the whole experience. Hopefully people in Los Angeles are doing that whole thing at the moment. But yes, as you rightly said, we have a number of folk who will actually simply download it as a podcast. So the next critical question is, are you... can we possibly look forward to featuring you on a fairly regular basis as one of our ace Louisiana State University correspondents?
Of course you can. That would be definitely one of the more interesting things I would get to do while I'm at LSU. I can provide lots of insight into a real Southerner's culture, you said, and I promise.
You see, the other classic magical thing is you could actually go from LSU to LSJ, you know, Louisiana State University to Lincoln School of Journalism, you know, MA Community Radio. There's all sorts of synthesized things there. It's been a blast. Take care. We will speak again very soon. For the moment, we salute you, and I think it's good luck for the USA. What's your prediction for the USA versus Germany? What's the Mary Lee Williams view on this? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, obviously, just to start out with, as an American, I have to say that, of course, I think America is going to win, you know. Realistically, I could see Germany winning 1-0, but I hope for a draw.
Yep, there we are. And then everybody's happy.
I'm thinking they're just going to collaborate, really, and just talk to each other on the sidelines and be like, look, let's draw.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but then, as was once described by Americans talking about football in England, if you have a 0-0 draw, it's a bit like kissing your sister. Don't go there. It's a strange world.
Face. Do you realize?
Probably not. But then again, maybe we should. Do you realise, Liv Clark, that you're a wonderful person, West Coast correspondent extraordinaire? Yes, of course you do.
What?
Yes, I answered the question for you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. Busy, but good, thank you.
Well, that's important. Samantha Sheldon has just posted that she hopes everyone on the Midweek Drive is well. Well, of course we are, Sam. Although this week
we're doing our best.
Exactly. She's off to work soon. No rest for the wicked. I know she gets married. She gets everything. She goes off to work. Please, can you play me a Carpenter's song? It's not a request station, Sam. But yes, for you, we'll dig out a Carpenter's song. Because let's face it, Samantha, she reaches us from Mansfield. Mansfield. Lord above. Anyway, yes. Anyway, she moved from Mansfield to Middlesbrough. We're not here to talk about the way in which listeners will occasionally sort of move up and down the land. We are here to actually welcome you back to the show, Liv, because we spoke obviously on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition a few weeks ago. All was set for last week, but then the phones went down. And you have a theory as to why this actually happened, because you said, strange that, because BBC Cumbria went off air at the same time.
Yeah, it's all to do with the weather, unfortunately. Bitsy Radio Cumbria, a lot of radio stations aren't on DAB anymore. They're on the old FM frequencies, there's a lot of television programmes launching, and they take the capacity of the radio. And just with a bit of hot weather, and the gremlins get in there,
can knock effect. It suddenly becomes dib dab, dib dab dob, and we don't know where we're going. It's very strange.
But you know what? It's a good thing. It means that you've got to leave your house and go out and actually meet people rather than listen to the radio and sit in one silence in a room. There is a plus side to it.
But Liv, the beauty of online stations and podcasts is you can take the fun with you. You can share. You know, and in a nice, easy, portable way, not in a kind of 1980s, look at the size of my ghetto blaster, man.
That's a really funny thing you should say, because I actually rooted it in the attic the other day and I found Now One, my first cassette tape, and it took me right back to the days where we used to have ghetto blasters and all sit there on a Sunday night for 2 hours doing record play stop, just to try and make a mixtape.
It was illegal, but we enjoyed it, you know.
It
was illegal, Liv. I mean, I've got to be honest. It was home taping is killing music. Skull and Crossbones on the cassette. That was the line that you used to get, you know. Anyway, moving on. Of course, last week we were at the heart. We were actually just wrapping up day one of the fabulous Lincolnshire show. 2 weeks from now, it's the Great Yorkshire Show. And, little known fact, you had many a fun time with the young farmers. Obviously all legal and above board, but I hadn't realised that obviously if you were in Cumbria you would have experienced things like the Cumbria Show and other exciting things and such like.
Yeah, indeed. I've got to say, the Young Farmers Movement was the best sort of time of my life. I sort of started when I was about, you know, sort of 10 and went right through to my 20s, really. And I just learned everything from public speaking to the quizzes. Yeah, we did some daft things. I dressed up in many a costume, did floats and things. But it was just great times. And it's I'm really pleased to see it still going. It's not as great as it used to be, but there's still a lot of people joining it. I mean, you know, at 11, I was the first child in my class to say, I've been rifle shooting, or I've been on an army assault course at the weekend when my mates were busy doing nothing. I was off doing something. So definitely a great movement, and certainly has a big connection with county and Cumbrian shows and worldwide shows as well. I mean, the Young Farmers Movement's now grown internationally as well, which is fantastic to see. It's awesome. Great link with Australia and the UK.
Although clearly there are certain parts of the country where if an 11-year-old child actually turned up to say to their teacher they'd just been rifle shooting over the weekend, they might not necessarily be greeted with open arms, shall we say. It's
we're
context.
Not in America, thank goodness. It's not in America, but it was all in a safe environment in a shooting alley and stuff. But you know what, I don't like guns. I tried to go to Sandhurst as an officer, passed all the exams, and went to come on the shooting rifle, and I couldn't pull the trigger. So it's a special kind of person that can do that. But no, it's a different world we live in now, Alex. It's all a bit politically correct gone mad. You know, you have to have things done in a fun way, but safe and controlled way.
Precisely. You know, don't sort of. Anyway, let's move on. You've been listening to the show. Any particular highlights from what you've heard so far as our West Coast correspondent?
I think the last sort of segment that you were talking about in terms of choice between the mediums of sort of print and broadcast. I mean, I obviously, my heart when I was a student of yours, Alex, was print, and I did all my pieces of work and, you know, listened well. I went out into the newspaper world, and I just didn't end up doing it beyond probably 18 months. And I think it was just a one-dimensional medium. And for me, the biggest thing was the agenda setting. So I would write a story, and then it would feature on the front page, and it wasn't my words. It was something sort of crafted into a political, you know, orientation, or to fit the mood of the current, you know, the news items in the story. And I thought, hang on, why am I
you know, putting my passion down on paper, and then actually something completely different appears. That there aren't my words, you know, it sort of put me off. So I went into the broadcast sphere just because, to the point you made earlier, it's more connected. You know, you used to do, you know, packages, and you'd meet people in the street and have that connection, and it's just having that dialogue makes it very, very different. Mm. So as the future of newspapers, I don't know, I think there's always a place for them, but I certainly think that radio, more so than television, is really driving forward, especially stations like this where you actually engage with people. It's, you know, Radio 1 does really well playing out music, but it doesn't interact particularly well with its community.
To be fair, they do try. I mean, they've got this little thing called Glastonbury, which I think is quite good if you're into glamping, i.e. glamorous camping, you know, which is very good for that. But in fact, there are people who are now saying, and musicians as well, that they wouldn't play Glastonbury because they feel it's lost its soul. It's sold its soul in terms of becoming far too populist and areas like that. I don't know. Just enjoy the festival for what it is, really. A fun experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've done festivals, and the best thing is about it is getting muddy, and, you know, it's not great. You know, but you meet some great people and you have some great experiences. I've certainly got some great experiences from, you know, being sort of wading 4 foot deep in mud. But you know what? That wouldn't have been the weekend that it was if it hadn't been like that. Because that's how you come to talk to people about, you know, experiences.
And it's so frightfully British as well. There we are.
It is.
If all else fails, I actually talk about the mud and the experiences that we actually have with that. Now, you're currently in Cumbria. You haven't shifted down to Manchester as yet. So what's the weather
Cumbria? In the pipeline, but now it's okay actually. It's a bit of a damp squib weather wise.
It always is, though, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, surely, you know, it's the way the clouds come over there. Cumbria without the rain is a bit like Woods without his daffodils. It's not going to occur, you know?
Well, it wouldn't be so. Look, I was in Grasmere at the weekend, and it was actually a beautiful day on Sunday, and I just sat at the Daffodil Hotel in Grasmere on the shores of the lake, and I just sat there. You know, you sit in silence, you think, yeah, this is what it's all about. And I just got off the mad train of life for sort of half an hour and had a nice drink and a think and a relax and things. But no, it's overcast now, but I'm sure it'll come back round again. These things always do.
It's called the planet revolving around the sun, which revolves around the solar system, which revolves around the nearest galaxy. And
the world keeps on turning regardless of how we try and turn it backwards. It turns itself forward.
Well, precisely. I feel as though we should have a Zen Buddhist moment coming across from that point of view. I reach to my little side here. I find 365 smiles from Buddha, and I say, it is said that a book circulates secretly in Japan and changes hands at a high price. It purports to contain the answers to all the best known koans. Clearly the author had a sense of humour. Oh well, we'll have more Mike Dooley magic from the universe today towards the back end of the programme. Moving on, of course, Liv, your presentation and your dissertation, if memory serves, was actually quite prescient because you actually predicted the rise and functions of social media back in the 20th century and said it's all going to change.
Yeah, I must have had some kind of Doctor Who TARDIS at the time. But no, it was just at the time I was discussing on my last show, you know, our course completely had to be rewritten by yourself and the other lecturers because literally the internet burst into the scene faster than anyone could have imagined. And email came about, and we also, I remember saying last week, last time we talked, you know, we all sat there and went, this is never going to take off. Why do we want this nonsense? And here we are now, and we couldn't live without it, and it's just going to get bigger and better and stronger. I mean, you've got Google with their eyeglasses, and there's all that going on, you know, it's quite big. But I think the newspaper world, it's always going to keep going on, but it's certainly diminishing. And then what's really not helping it is people like The Sun and The Times, they're starting to charge you to access content, which is kind of shooting yourself in the foot, really.
Well,
because people don't want to pay, you know, for online, they want to access it for free. When you've got applications like Sky News, you know, for your phone that's free, why would you go down the Times and the Sun route? So, you know, it's going to be an interesting sort of few years and see where that all goes and how it all works.
As we said when we were speaking to Anna Lewis, who was with me back in the 80s before we reconnected with her and is now a correspondent from the very small island of Jersey, we always occasionally like to select little samples that come from people's feeds on their Facebook page. And one that particularly caught my attention, Liv, from your own aspect was this one. Sky and Vodafone, did you have to fix both of my ongoing faults at the same time on the same day? Do I look like I have time to read over 3,000 emails and sort out my iPhone that is making the noise of a screaming banshee? If anyone has been in touch, I'm real sorry for not getting back to you. I will at some point. Smiley face. Genius. You know, that's what you call good journalism in action there. Citizen journalism, that, Liv. Citizen journalism.
Oh, Alex, the language that poured out of my body. Yeah. When my phone, I was literally out in town. I'd just been to a meeting that at Mind, you know, the mental health support group in Kendal, I support regionally and nationally. And I had the phone turned up on, in this great meeting, some brilliant patients in there who were doing really well. And I turned the phone back on, and it just melted, and I just couldn't get it. So I turned the damn thing off again.
It's understandable.
I'll get to it when I get to it, but I just think, you know, social media, quickest way to get to everyone. I could spend 5 hours going through 3,000 emails, or I can do one post.
Or, as they would say in the European City of Culture, to be Kingston upon Hull, social media. It's important that we translate these things right, otherwise it's Louisiana.
Do they still say a fern call for phone call?
Pip on a rip, you know, Catholic, head of the Catholic Church, the pip, sip on a rip.
Yeah. I had to have elocution lessons after my 3 years.
I'm not surprised.
No, phone call.
There we are. Moving on, we were delighted to find that you're going to be taking part, and indeed just a little bit sort of frightened by this whole thing, but you're going to be taking part in a Race for Life shortly. So share with us, Liv, how can we support you? What are we doing with respect to that? When's it going to be happening?
It's next month in Manchester and Heaton Park, and Race for Life, for those of people who don't know it, is it's run by Tesco supermarket in the UK, and it's been going for quite a number of years. It started back in Battersea, and basically it's about bringing a group of women together. You dress in pink, you don't, or you dress in costumes, do what you like, and you basically do about 5 kilometres. You can either run, walk or jog it, and it's all to raise money for cancer research. Cancer Research UK, like every other cancer foundation in the world, is struggling really to find the funds to support families. It's not just about the person getting the cancer, it's the families, it's the friends that get involved. And the ultimate thing is to find a cure. And as you know, our DNAs are so different. It's not a one-suits-all, so it's a very difficult thing to fix. And, you know, you keep seeing the news headlines, disappointingly, you know, more and more people are getting different types of cancer in different ways. And, you know, it's really important that people just get up and do something. You know, you can sit and say, well, that's a good thing that you're doing, but why don't you do something yourself? And it's not about raising £1 million each. If we all raise £10, that would go a long way. So I've been doing Race for Life since it started back in London, and I've only had a couple of years where I haven't done it because of sort of engagement. And I just find it really satisfying. I get to meet a load of people. I get a real kick up the backside when I see small children who run with a sticker on their back saying, I'm running for my mum who died last year. And it suddenly resonates you and thinks, hang on, yeah, that's who I'm running for. That child who's lost their parent, or someone who's lost their grandmother. And I myself, like many people listening, have been impacted directly or indirectly with cancer. And it is a real, real burden on people, and some people survive and some people don't. And I think we owe it to ourselves as a community. We've kind of forgotten to look after each other, just to sort of, you know, raise a bit of money for that. So that's what it's all about. But my cancer research Race for Life has gone a little bit in a different direction than I had originally planned, Alex, as you're probably aware from my post on Facebook.
Yeah, well, you know, things happen in every sense of the word, and we'll keep updated with that and more in future weeks. A reminder, we have actually sort of shared Anna Lewis's link about the baby goat learning to walk again. Oh, Frosty the goat. Sorry, I'm just a sucker for goats who learn to walk again. Good to actually hear from our other West Coast correspondent. This is Los Angeles West Coast, Lee Holliman, who has correctly provided us with the right number we need to reach her, which is always handy. But for the moment, from our UK West Coast correspondent, currently in Cumbria, Liv Clark, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
I have indeed, Alex, I have indeed. It'd be really good, actually, if you don't mind, if I could share with yourself after the show the link to my fundraising site.
Well,
I think you can do that,
and we'll put it online and we'll promote it. And when we are next back on the show, because I'm already assuming you're going to say yes to the next question, we will actually make sure that people know how to actually support and do all that magical stuff, etc. So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to throw a lot of money at, you know, pounds.
Exactly. Precisely.
In the UK, we have a thing called gift aid, which is a tax relief from the government. So a pound becomes a little bit more. So it's not about the big bucks.
Exactly. As Terry Wogan once said, it's the widow's mite. The widow's mite. That will do. That will do for you, sir.
The problem I've got, Alex, is I've got a very short period of time in which to learn the Macarena. My Race for Life has gone askew.
Please, just hold back on that one, because we're going to do Sam Sheldon's request now for the Carpenters. I take it you will return in a couple of weeks?
Absolutely.
Liv Clark, we salute you. Yay! Actually, let's test your introduction skills. Would you like to just dedicate this next one to Samantha Sheldon as she goes off to work? It could be dedicated to both of you, actually, because it's Karen and Richard Carpenter with Superstar. Take it away, Liv Clark.
And this is for Samantha, who's going to work because she has to, not because she wants to. Enjoy the Carpenters, and you'll still be back home where you should be.